We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
I love that you still chuckle when this music comes on.
I'm not used to it.
Yeah, I love it. Well, because, I mean, I've been interviewing you for 11 years, I think, as long as we've been here. Yeah, a long time. Off and on, depending on your various roles. And, you know, we've had this music for you for a long time. And not this music. This is the new music. So, Sheriff Simmons, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
I do have a suspicious mind. So, yeah.
Well, that's natural. That's what you're supposed to have, right? I mean, I think so. All right. So, lots of events to cover that have happened, which is kind of unfortunate. But, you know, there it is. We had a drive-by shooting on Devane Street Saturday week. Saturday, like 4 days ago.
Yeah, this past Saturday. We got a report that a car pulled up and fired. They heard one round. And then they went outside and they found that there were a bullet hole, I think, in her travel trailer. But I don't anyone know what was hit.
Okay, well, that's
we're still looking for
still a little bit discouraging.
That might be responsible for that.
You don't want to have that happen. I also had a little bit more involved shooting on Saturday at the 850 studio, or not? It's not studio, 850 bar. It's close to. It's kind of funny. The WEAR reports that by Cat Country. I'm like, I mean, it is, but it isn't. It wasn't in our parking lot. So what happened here? This was an officer involved shooting, right?
Yeah, it is an officer involved shooting. So there's limited things I can tell you because we're not doing the investigation. FDLE is. But we were out there on an unrelated disturbance.
We talk about some things that we take for granted. I just want to, there's people tuning in all the time that have never heard this before. The sheriff's office does not investigate its own shooting. Well, you do, but you have outside agencies and FDLE, Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Any officer involved shooting, they're gonna do an investigation.
Right. That's the agreement that we have in this circuit. We can investigate our own shooting. I trust our investigators to do it right. And then there's because the state attorney's office reviews them anyway. So that is the second review of it. But it's better and cleaner if we just ask an agency that is not the sheriff's office to look at the shooting. They don't say it's right or it's wrong. What they'll do is they'll investigate and then present that to the state attorney's office. Mm-hmm. So we obviously help them out. So in cases where an officer involved shooting takes place, then again, FDLE handles it. And while I give some details, there's some things that I don't want to keep comment on. If we ask someone to come and investigate, it's really not cool for me to just
get out there and keep talking about the case,
and give my opinions about it. But in many cases, there are some obvious, you know, the NAS shooting, those things.
Right.
But I get out there and talk a lot about those types of things.
So in this case, this was late at night at the parking lot outside the A5O.
Yeah, we had a couple deputies that are on the scene working an unrelated disturbance.
Okay.
When some people came up to our deputies and said, hey, there's a fight around back, which is still the parking lot area, but around the back. And as they were saying that, our deputies hear a number of gunshots. Clearly, our deputies do what brave deputies do. They run towards the threat. And at one point, an individual, the suspect, was running towards the deputy with a handgun. You know, confronted the deputy. The deputy was forced to fire, and then the suspect went down. So we're not sure which bullets hit the suspect, to be honest, whether it was the deputy's bullets or whether it was the shooting that was taking place before the deputies rounded that corner.
Okay.
So that's part of the investigation. There were several shell casings that were not ours. So we know and we heard that there was a disturbance involving gunfire before we even got there.
And you always, as a matter of policy, put an officer involved in a shooting on administrative detail until FDLE comes forward and there's no charges? I mean,
well, we put them on paid administrative leave, but only until we review it ourselves.
Until you guys come forward. Okay.
Yeah, we don't wait until the FDLE comes back with it.
Got it.
But what we'll do is we'll look at the situation. And many times we have the body cameras, we have in-car cameras, we have statements. We know, you know, it's pretty clear cut.
Assume the bar has video too. I mean, on the outside,
we're looking at any video that we can get there. Because again, there's two different shooting incidents that took place in this thing. So technically, we're working the initial shooting, and then the Florida Department of Law Enforcement is reviewing the officer involved part of it.
Okay, and I mean, from the accounts that you've given or that we've heard, other news, Channel 3 has given, I mean, it seems like a fairly clear case. But you know, that's why you do the review, just to make sure. This is kind of a good news note. You had a guy sworn in from Erie, Pennsylvania Police Department, Patrick Bear. Now, I thought this was kind of, because, you know, a lot of law enforcement agencies in the country, you know, 5 years after George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, defund the police, which itself came after, of course, Ferguson, which, you know, made it harder for all law enforcement agencies in a variety of ways. But, you know, this is us getting from somewhere else because we're a law enforcement friendly community, right?
Well, I think that there's a lot of things, a lot of reasons that people would come to Escambia County to live. The weather, the climate, and if you're a law enforcement officer, we're a very supportive community and gracious community. We typically will recruit locally. I'm a fan of Escambia, Santa Rosa, you know, the area, kids that can come to work at the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
Because our support systems here, their families here. We also have a large military presence here, so people get out of the military and they decide, hey, I want to live in this area. And we obviously love getting military veterans on the sheriff's office workforce. So, but in this case, someone saw what they liked in the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. We're very proud of that. And so he got certified, and he'll start work shortly.
Very good. Well, we'll take it. You know, and
we'll take it.
You, Sheriff Johnson, both talk about people coming here from elsewhere in California and Illinois and New York. And, you know, hey, we're glad to have – we feel sorry for the communities that lose their police because of, you know, bad politics, basically. But we'll take them. We will find a place for them.
Community.
Yeah, absolutely. People here like me, and they say thank you, and they buy me donuts and stuff. I mean, that's, you know, that's kind of the thing. There was a report, I think northescambia.com had this story, that there was about 15 or 20 mailboxes in Molino destroyed over the weekend.
You know, every couple months, really, we'll have a report that an individual got their mailbox tore up. It's not as common as it used to be. I remember growing up, oftentimes you'd see, you know,
Hillbilly baseball
cars that are yep, that will drive by and take care of mailboxes. I think the mailboxes are, a lot of them are concrete now and bricks, and a little difficult. And plus, there's so many cameras around now.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that's why. But we did get a report. Several were done in Molino, so we're going to look into it, and we would encourage the kids. I'm assuming it's kids. I can't imagine a family of four going out and doing that sort of thing. But
a family that destroys mailboxes together stays together.
Yeah, so no, I'm assuming there's some kids and schools out and that sort of thing. I'm just wondering if that's who's doing it.
I would say I would also allow for some wiggle room in the perpetrator category to include the dummies who never grew up category, and maybe driving around thinking this is entertaining as adults, because. As a bicyclist, I have encountered some of these people, I will say. We also had, you've got your year-to-date narcotics results, right?
Yeah, it happened on my phone. It has some of the year-to-date from just our narcotics unit itself. And this is as of the end of April. And I can tell you that we have seized, we've served 30 search warrants. That's pretty good for one unit for a four-month time period. We have made 33 arrests in that period of time. Here's an important thing. We've seized 38 weapons, 38 guns, a couple of cars, and let's see here, the fentanyl is what I'm looking at because that's a priority, 2,666.8 grams of fentanyl, a bunch of other drugs.
2,000 grams of fentanyl? That's 2 kilos of fentanyl.
That is our narcotics unit and our wow. agency overall prioritizing fentanyl investigations. These distributors, and we're doing search warrants, kicking doors, and seizing a lot of guns, arresting quite a few people,
and
seizing a lot of fentanyl.
Now, I know EMS is usually going to get the call, but are you seeing a lot of overdoses still from fentanyl-related use, either intentional or not intentional fentanyl use?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We get called quite a bit. We don't get a call to all of them because if they, strange way to say it, but if they survive, then oftentimes we don't get a call on those. But on death investigations, we handle the death investigations that are not attended by a physician.
Okay, and it's just sometimes we hear a lot about it, sometimes we don't hear as much about it, but it is still very much a real problem.
We get several calls a day, I would say, on overdose, potential overdoses and overdoses, and a lot of times they just need medical attention. To recover. Sometimes they're not quite out of it. They're just on the verge.
You know, EMS has been doing this. What is the name of the CORE? They've been doing this CORE program now for about 2 years in Escambia County. Seems like to me a great success. If it saves five people, it saves five people. Also, it de-stresses the resource use because they're not taking up ambulances again and again, because many times it's multiple. You know, one person has multiple overdoses. Are you seeing I mean, can you just, you know, either anecdotally or just from your perspective, do you see any impact from CORE on your side of the equation?
Yeah, I don't know. That, I mean, we wouldn't have the statistics
okay,
that they would
fair
have.
Enough.
I salute the effort.
Yeah.
I think that people are doing something, and I think you have to take a multi-pronged approach to these types of things. You know, we're doing our part. They're obviously doing their part, and then you're doing a little bit extra. So I applaud that they're stepping out and doing something a little differently. But you'd have to ask them about the statistics.
Okay.
I can simply tell you that the number of calls for service that we get anecdotally on individuals that are on fentanyl or overdosing on fentanyl or fentanyl deaths doesn't seem to be going down. It's still fentanyl is still very high. Much a high priority for us. It's still the most dangerous drug that I've seen in my time in law enforcement, and it's still something that we pay great attention to.
I did want to ask you about something it's outside of your domain, but I know it's something you care about. You were a football coach for a long time. You've been involved in youth mentoring. Of course, you have the Blazer Academy, both for women and men. You care a lot about that because, A, you know that people who don't get proper upbringing become criminals, and B, you care about kids a lot. And, you know, the decision that was made by City Council last Thursday to approve the Rafferty Center, the $3 million building that's going to expand the Southern Youth Sports Association. Again, it's not your domain, but I know you have a perspective, and I was just curious if you want to comment on the value either of the organization or of the activity or of getting people, you know, kids from being on the street to being in sports and the value of that to them as, you know, as a form of socializing, as a form of benefiting them.
Yeah, I can tell you that my interaction with Southern Sports Youth Association and the coaches that they have some wonderful mentors and some wonderful coaches. About 2 weeks ago, I was at Pensacola State College, and I walked into their gymnasium, and there was a basketball league going on there. One of the coaches, I approached him, Raymond Palmer. Actually went to school with him. For years we had coached against each other, and he's still at it. He epitomizes what they're doing to me. He epitomizes what they're doing at SYSA, because a lot of times it's football, a lot of times basketball, but all the time it's mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
All the time it's taking that time to be with these kids and to give them something to do, and they'll listen. You know, the whole basis for our Blazer Academy is both the men and the women's Blazer Academy, is that. That coaching aspect of things where they'll sit there and they'll listen to you and you can give them those little bits of knowledge and give them some hope and some, you know, some encouragement, but you can also give them ear and hear what they have to say. So I salute it. I love the fact that there's private funds going into it.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact as a former park president that you have to have a contract where you have exclusive use of the facility, or you can't have a league. You can't say we're going to practice on Monday and then someone else goes in there Monday and then or games are on Saturday and you put literally thousands of dollars into this thing and then someone else is on the field.
Right.
So you have to have a contract with the county that allows you the use of that. And then, or the county, the city, in this particular case. So, I'm a fan of the time, year after year after year that they've put into this thing, and I salute them, and I'm glad things are going well for them.
Yeah, and I just know you and I get a chance to talk about Blazer Academy a lot, mm-hmm. and this is one of those things that maybe doesn't get talked about a lot, but clearly, based on what was said at City Council on Thursday and what we know from the community and the number of people and all this, that, you know, what CISA is doing is, I mean, just really, really great work for these kids, and it's good for the community. And I like taking a moment to celebrate even what other people are doing, which is, you know, that's very important. I did want to ask you, we're now 5 years post George Floyd. Obviously, that itself came in the context of being post Ferguson. We had protests here in Pensacola, you know, to some degree, but, you know, and you and I talked about this at the time quite a bit, but, you know, your thoughts about I talked with Tommy, I know about a lot about it when he was chief of police. I don't think you were maybe in law enforcement at the time. You had maybe were not yet elected. I can't remember if that was true, but just 5 years later, your thought of where Escambia Sheriff's Office is and where the nation is with regards to the race issue and policing.
Well, I think my thoughts are that you've got to do things in a professional manner. No matter what you're doing, whether it's any type of work or law enforcement specifically, you've got to be open. You got to be transparent. You got to be honest. And I think that we've shown when I ran on engagement enforcement, but I also ran on transparency. One of the first things I did, body cameras. I want people to know, hey, this is what's really going on. This is the job that the law enforcement is doing. But I also make sure that people understand that we are not perfect. This is a very, very difficult job. We talked about a shooting, officer-involved shooting. a deputy's running into what he knows is gunfire. He runs into that, and he's confronted by a man with a gun, or what we call a suspect with a gun. So these are difficult choices, split-second choices that law enforcement has to make. With the proper training, with the proper emphasis on professionalism, I think that there's a relationship with a community that a law enforcement agency can share and make our community that much better. So do we learn from some things that have happened, not just in Escambia County, but other places? I know that there were some things that they were asking for, that people were asking for nationwide, that we were already doing.
Yeah.
You know, there was, I can't remember now, it was 10 for 10 or 20 for 20, whatever the number was. But we already had those policies in place. We already had the transparency. We were already open and honest about these things. Well, I'm not saying that everyone will agree with everything that we do, or there's probably listeners now that don't agree with everything that I say. But the bottom line is, if we're all looking to make our county better, it starts with me, at least. It starts with a law enforcement agency and a government and elected officials that are accountable to the people, when they are willing to come out here and talk to you,
yep,
and talk to other people and go to meetings and say, this is where we are, this is our thought process, and this is why we did this. And I think that's what people want. People want to know that you have their best interests at heart.
And I think, you know, for a lot of folks, the George Floyd incident is very tied to race, even as I asked the question. But it's also tied very heavily to mental health for police officers. And are they comfortable saying, you know, I'm feeling stressed? Are they getting counseling when they need it? Are they getting interventions as they need it and support as they need it? And also, and which a lot of that has reformed quite a bit in the intervening 5 years, but also, are people, other law enforcement officers, comfortable telling them, hey, you're doing something wrong, or stopping them? And even law enforcement officers themselves, you can find yourself sort of iron-jawed, locked into a response that's a mistake. Can you recognize it's a mistake? Can you back yourself down? Can you de-escalate yourself? I mean, these are all questions that you guys deal with and train on. And, you know, it's not only race. It's all these other dimensions of what that very vivid video, unfortunately, you know, brought to life for us. Sheriff Simmons, I always appreciate the time, appreciate the input, and, you know, keeping us safe and always being a better agency every day. I appreciate it. So we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.